Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 4, episode 25, and this is our immediate reaction to winning Arch Madness. As you can tell, I'm a little hoarse. I'm a pretty big horse. No, I'm pretty hoarse. I got some tea next to me with some honey and a little bit of whiskey for the championship vibes, but it's been a hell of a day. It's been a hell of a weekend. I don't know. I mean, this is just for everyone listening. There's going to be many voice cracks, but for everyone listening, this is just kind of, it's not really like how we usually do it. We're just going to like talk and hang out and, talk about like what our favorite parts were, stuff like that. But we'll get into like the actual games probably later in the week. We're thinking we're going to have two this week, kind of shorter, and then one, at least one next week. When we find out like who we're playing and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, Lou, why don't you talk a little bit? Cause you're not so hoarse and you can probably sound good compared to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I sent a tweet out, but, I plan on joining my amazing co-host, had some family issues come up and I sadly had to turn my tickets in and I couldn't join everybody, but, I think my family is concerned for my health yeah, in watching sports, but let alone my health in watching the Loyola Ramblers. And no matter what, it could be a step back three, and I'm still yelling, why aren't we just driving, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
But this weekend, from a fan at home standpoint, or from a fan sitting on the couch, or I've been standing a lot, but it's been fun. It's been very exciting. And the path to get to where we got, now we couldn't play all four teams that I wanted to play, but the three teams we did get to play and which games we played them in, to be honest with you, I think it's not just bittersweet. I think it's redemption. I think it's a little revenge game, right? Especially for the championship game, I'd say, right? But mainly it's Loyola Chicago this is what it's done in recent times in the Valley, and this is our last time doing it in the Valley, and I am very happy to say I'm lighting a Will Alcock on our experience in the Valley, and that's what this weekend just summed up, really. And there's more to talk about the future and the games, and we'll talk about that probably in the next part two of this, but the first reaction is just, goddamn, this was a fun weekend to watch from my side point. But now I got to ask about the horse person next to me. That it must have been even I guess a higher experience just physically, mentally being there in St. Louis this weekend.
Yeah, it really was, man. It was so fun. It was my first Arch Madness, so just
forgot about that. Oh god, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, like we both graduated in 2019. I never got the opportunity to go to as a student, just kind of busy. I was an engineering student, so I just kind of didn't have that opportunity. And then obviously like right after I graduated was the COVID year, so that didn't happen. And then last year there was no fans, I don't think, or very few.
Very few fans, limited fans, yeah.
Yeah, so then this year, and then with us changing, going to the A-10, we were talking, and some of our other buddies were talking too, like, we have to go, like, this year. Like, it just, you know, we got to figure it out, and we're going to go, and all that good stuff. Obviously, it didn't happen, but, you know, for good reasons. So, yeah, I didn't know what to expect. Like, I was kind of nervous, honestly, like, because I mean, we're huge fans. We have a couple friends that are huge fans, but, like, we don't have a group of friends, at least I don't, that, like, are always going to games or hanging out talking about the team or, like, you know, I know that I've seen on Twitter or whatever, or Instagram or whatever, like, people that follow us or follow the team have these, like, groups of people. That's great. Like, I'm so happy. But I was like, oh, no. Like, it felt like high school kind of, when you're, like, going to sit down at a lunch table and you're like, oh, I don't know if, like, any of these people are going to like me. And it ends up everyone was so, so kind. Like, that's honestly, besides the basketball, that was my biggest takeaway. Like, everyone that I met was genuinely just, like, super, super kind. Of course, it's kind of easy to talk to people when you have that, like, common interest, right? But even then, I was still kind of nervous just for whatever reason. Everyone was also super, super nice to my boyfriend, which was really important to me because he's not a Loyola alum, and he's kind of just, like, a fan because I'm a fan. And so, first of all, big shout out to Jeff. That was I got to say, because he was such a great co-fan with me. But, yeah, just meeting people. I mean, I'm going to forget people, so I'm sorry if I forget you. But Alex, the PA announcer from Loyola, was so great to meet. I met Bill, who I think his name is Bill, who was a track and field athlete from 1964, who was a good dude. I met Joe, the realtor, had to go and meet him. I talked to Mr. Elcock. I talked to Lucas Williamson's sister. That's just like kind of the highlights, but I mean, obviously like there was some basketball to be played, but, my favorite part besides the basketball was just all the good people. And I didn't get my hoarse voice from yelling at them. I got my hoarse voice from correcting the officials when they were incorrect, because
missing Darnell Brody just fouling Lucas, but we can, it's okay. We can talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah. The other thing that I was yelling, I think today, and I'm sure everyone around me was like, God, shut up about that, was, why the hell is Braden Norris ever playing defense on Tucker DeVries? Ever. I don't care. I get that their defense switches, but like, it was, at least like Marquise Kennedy is like strong and quick and can like has, not to say that Braden isn't, but Braden is just such a bad matchup for Tucker. I'm sure that I think they kind of tried in the second half not to have that happen as much. But, oh, my gosh, those people around me must just have been like, shut up about the whole Braden and Tucker thing. God, that was my biggest pet peeve today. So,
well, besides the pet peeves, I think, again, you and I every day, again, so just for reference, I found out only on Wednesday. But the plan originally, though, I was still only going to come down Friday. I had a prior engagement, or sorry, I wasn't going to come in on Saturday because I had a prior engagement for Friday. And, like, my goal was, hey, I think this team is going to win the Friday game. Of course, before then, I had us planning to be the one seed. And I was like, well, I think we're still going to win the Friday game. And so I was like, oh, 7 a.m. train and everything, and that changed. But I could feel that with all, like, even the people I knew down there, you knew the people that were down there were, like, the genuine fans that were representing Loyola. And it was just great to see, follow the pack. The pack got down there. I forget what day I saw the bus.
They started on Saturday. I didn't see too many of the pack on Friday. Started on Saturday, and there was a huge, great student turnout today. Probably 400, yeah. I would say, from just that I could tell. Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I have to just say, it's like, as a person who not only worked in the athletic department in my time and then went down as a student / working one of my times, it was more just exciting to see, like, we are usually on spring break. If people who don't remember, like, recent grads know, like, Arch Madness is the first week in the spring break.
Yeah.
Majority of students are not thinking about going to St. Louis for spring break. They are thinking about, hey, I'm going to get the hell on a flight to Miami. I'm going to get a flight to somewhere warm. Somewhere to give me a week of break. And even me, like, I never plan any trips, but, like, now to see that was, like, maybe people decided, hey, we're going to fly out Sunday night from where we're playing from St. Louis because that's what we're going to do. We're going to go down. And that's just something great, honestly, to see. I know just for foresight, right, you, Buck, and I, and, like, a lot of guys, I think we're going to have our own group, have been saying next year we're all going to New York. I'm actually from the New York area, and next year's for Atlantic 10 is going to be in Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and I am really excited to see then will students come out to New York, because again, New York is a little bit, let's be honest, it's a little bit more like, oh my God, it's New York City versus St. Louis. But that's the crazy thing, we had 400 students show up for St. Louis, and that's just, and again, it's helpful that it's close, so I get that it's not too hard to get there, right? You can even drive. I know, Buck, you drove and a handful of people. So it's kind of crazy circumstances, but I think this was a special one to watch, especially a special group. But, yeah, it's crazy to think that we've gone from what we've gone from in early Arch Madness years to where we're just putting 400 students. I think in some years, maybe 5 years ago, it might not even have been 400 fans in the stands, right? So go back to, really just any of the years before the Final Four, that easily could be something that people could talk about. There weren't even 400 fans. So it's a crazy world, but it's a great world to be a Rambler.
Yeah, it totally is. I can't believe it. We were kind of just like chit-chatting before. And like, I think we both kind of said it. We just kind of can't believe it. Like Like, I went into this weekend feeling pretty good. Actually, that's kind of where I want, like, our next part of the conversation is like, what we were feeling before the tournament, before each game. I went in the weekend feeling pretty good. I felt pretty good. I thought if we won on Friday, I thought we were going to beat Northern Iowa. Like, I don't know, that felt pretty good to me. Past that, like, obviously no clue. But, like, as a whole, remember, Illinois State, Evansville, those two games, like, we played, you know, pretty good against Illinois State. Our defense was good. Evansville, obviously, was Evansville. We killed them, but a lot of fun, right? Then we go to the Northern Iowa game, and our defense is broken, like, straight up broken, like, a million pieces. How are we putting this back together? So, like, honestly, I just didn't know if they could fix that. I think I said on the last episode, though, like, I'd rather have to try to fix the defense than fix the offense. And they definitely did that. But we'll get into that one tomorrow. Just kind of thinking like how I was feeling. We needed the defense to step up, playing against Bradley. The one thing I thought we had over Bradley was experience. A lot of those guys, even like Rink Mass and Terry Roberts, is a newcomer. So he's never really played in Arch Madness. Rink Mass, he did play last year, but I don't remember how Bradley did. I mean, they didn't win at all, and we didn't play them in the championship, so it mostly won like one game, I guess. I felt pretty good about it, just knowing like experience wise, if it's a close game, I felt pretty good about it. And also the way that they beat us the second game with like their bench just kind of going off, and it was just a weird game for us. I'm not going to say that we gave it up because Bradley definitely beat us, but it just felt like a really strange game for us. It felt like an outlier, so I felt pretty good about that game. But yeah, Lou, how'd you feel about the weekend? And then like more specifically, how'd you feel about that Bradley game going into it?
Yeah. I think, the Bradley game, I'll be honest, it's like, we just needed to make sure their bench didn't have a randomly sporadic game. And I can say randomly because Zeke Montgomery, I think, hit more threes in the game against us than his whole career, or pretty goddamn close to it. So, They are sporadic things, right? I can't pronounce Tygo. I don't know how to pronounce that point guard's name. And to be honest,
Tavainen.
We won't be playing him much anymore. So maybe I don't have to worry. But he went off from three. And the thing was this. It was like he was at their home gym, right? I think it was a little hostile. But I don't think that should have stopped us from winning that game at Bradley. So the other thing is really, I think we were just being lax. We were being lax at closing the corner three, so there were things that just tidying up. And I think you and I kind of nearly, we didn't butt heads, but we had different really first reactions, I think, at that Bradley game. And it was just that game, though, was just annoying. And it was sour. Mm-hmm. And I think this game was a statement game for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
Because I think that the way we came out of that, the Friday game, of just really, now, again, but I think even someone asked me, oh, how much did you win by? And I was like, oh, we probably won by like 20, right? And then I looked at the box score, I was like, oh, we won by 16. But it felt like that. And
it did, yeah.
Thing. And that is the biggest thing. And that for me, after that game, and I said to myself, I was like, okay, if we win 2 out of 3, if we get to the championship, I think we have a strong chance of getting in, is the, like a play-in, right? Yeah. I really did think. But after that Friday game, I was like, okay, I think we're going to – now, I didn't think we were going to crush you and I, and we'll talk about that later in the next part. But I said we're going to have a really strong chance. I think this team is just geared up. And that Bradley game set the tone for the weekend. And that's what it was. And we'll talk about it in part two. But that tone on the defense side never left an entire game. It got quiet at parts. There's no denying that, right? It got quiet at parts, but the tone from the defense was never – it was always present in one of the three games. For either however long it was, for what it could be the UNI game, could be the Drake game, however long our defensive presence and that passion to, like, grind on defense, it was there the entire weekend, and that's what sums it up. I was literally like, how do I describe this weekend? And it's like, defense stood its ground. I didn't even care who scored. I don't care how many people. Literally, the defense, to me, surprised me and made me more happy or happier. However, I got so overjoyed. I'd be like, oh, this is Loyola Chicago basketball defense that I haven't seen as frequent this past year. I've seen it in spurts, but I haven't seen it as consistently. And we decided, hey, we're going to play three straight games back to back to back by playing the same defense. And that's just what it is. And we'll go into it more, but that's just the tone. And again, Buck, I want to hear your side. I was watching it and I could feel that, right? Like, I didn't see these guys drop to the floor to grab a ball. I didn't see, spoiler alert, if you didn't watch it or care to see it, Drew on the ground today getting loud. Like, seeing them is one thing. But then, Buck, what was it like just overall this weekend seeing and feeling that defense kind of and watching it?
It was something, man. I mean, like, first of all, huge, like, boost from Marquise, for sure. I mean, like,
oh, absolutely.
It was like, obvious, like, even, like, talking with fans and everyone, just how crucial, like, everyone thinks he is. And he went out and proved it. Like, we're not going to talk about a shooting performance from Sunday, but, like, everything else was excellent. But yeah, Tate Hall on the ground for balls. Chris Knight on the ground. I mean, I'm sure, yeah, Lucas was. Like, you just name, I think everyone dove for a ball at some point. But yeah, like, Drew was, like, super anime. It was more anime than I've ever seen him. Like, there have been a couple times this season where he's jumped up and down. I couldn't tell you. I don't think it's more than five. I think I saw him jump up and down and stomp on the ground 8 times, like, in 3 games. It's actually really funny. I was having a conversation. But he's kind of, like, he's newer to Loyola, and he was like, hey, like, you know, what's up with Drew? Like, why does he do that? Like, why does he jump up and down? And so I was like, you know, it's really funny because Porter was the king of doing that. Like, he would do that 5 times a game.
Dude, and it's coming off, man. Like,
yeah. And yeah, exactly. And so I was just kind of telling him, like, okay, like, that makes more sense. I didn't know that. And I was like, you're seeing a little bit of a different side of Drew. And, you know, I don't know how he goes from game to game. If this was just like, I mean, the stakes are higher, right? Like, every game, every point, every, you know, board or whatever possession matters. But it was fun to watch him play defense. I, you know, there's so many, like, really good plays, and I'm just trying to, like, run through my brain to think of, there's one that was called a foul of the day that I thought was an excellent play. I think it was Marquise getting a block, but you know, you could just talk about, like, the lockdown defense we played on AJ Green. AJ Green was 4 of 20. Saturday. I would have to go back and look at his, like, game logs. But I think that with everything considered, like, how important the stakes, all that kind of stuff, that probably is his worst game ever as a Panther. The top 3 for sure. And it's unfortunate. I like AJ Green. I'm not trying to, like, crap on him. I think he's going to be very successful. Like, if he comes back, if he tries to test the waters in the NBA, whatever, he's going to be really successful. But to have forced him to have that kind of game, just get him off his stride or whatever, was just really impressive. I would just have to say my favorite part about the defense was how in unison they felt, like, especially off ball screens, like, charging at the ball handler in pick and roll. That worked, I think, really well. It's doing something different. Yeah, defense was a work of art, really. It was just beautiful. So, I'm trying to think of, like, some other of my – I mean, we got to talk about the Tom Welch dunk, man. That shit – I'm sorry. I apologize to my family. That shit was bonkers. That I didn't know he could do that. Dunking over 7'1", Ari Boya, right? Ari Boya, is that his name?
Yeah, Boya, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that was, that's, for me, that's a highlight of the tournament, like, just, like, one play. Close second is Lucas's step back 3 today. But, yeah, and then I'm still fuming that he got a technical for that. Like, I'm still so,
MVC reps are soft because MVC reps just were told, don't let Loyola win, and
the whole, like, pat yourself on the head thing, all that means is someone, like, they dunked on someone, and, like, he did it to celebrate with his own team. He wasn't taunting. Oh my gosh, I don't even get me started on that. I'm still upset. But Tom Welch dunk was my favorite play of the weekend. I don't know if you had anything else to talk about, but if you say your favorite play.
Yeah, no, I think we'll go into more, and I love the AJ Green talk, but I want to stay there for part 2, and we can get into particular players. But really, for me, it's like one moment I saw was, I think Brian Wardle just doesn't like Loyola. I don't know, just watching it, I was like, I don't think Brian Wardle's happy we just like beat him, but that end of the story, he's won two NBC championships. I think he knows how to get back there, especially the team he's got. Yeah, it's something that I, and it's defense. Everything I'm excited about this weekend is defense. Offense is there. Everyone did kind of their stuff. There's a few things I'll talk about in part two, but the biggest thing that highlights for me is I watched every press conference. And at least in two out of the three, I don't remember the Bradley press conference, anything. I don't remember hearing this, but you and I and Drake was Loyola switched a crap ton. And that's what I think you saw, barely that commitment to do that so much this past season. We saw that in some games. There's absolutely. But in this tournament, we said the word switch and the word cover is going to be in our DNA. Mm-hmm. And that's what since Sunday, we lost an overtime game to you and I on Sunday. And we were got told Sunday, okay, you're now fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got told, oh, because you're fourth now, Lucas isn't going to be player of the year. You're going to only have one guy. You're only going to have two guys in the
top three teams.
You're not even going to have a guy potentially considered for sixth man, because I don't even know if they show the voting for that. And it's like, to be honest with you, it felt like these last 2 days were like, oh, well, they choked, and they just shouldn't get recognized for what they did. They just didn't finish, right, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the defense just shut up critics. It really did. Like, there's just no – not only from the second – yesterday's game, but – and again, I'm in New York right now, and so technically it's Monday, which blows my mind listening to them. but it's really just like that's my biggest impression. There's dunks. There's three steals in a row, which we'll talk about some next part because it frustrates me a little bit in some things. But it's just the overall consistency of St. Louis. And I think you said it, the unison of the team from every guy. It wasn't just like, yes, there were guys who maybe were stellar a little bit more, right? But from Tom Wells to Marcus Kenny off the bench, Ryan Sweeger off the bench, and even Ryan Sweeger, I laugh at myself. I'm like, I don't like his defense, but he's playing a little bit better defense. And I love seeing that because I think, to be honest with you, it was that unison as a team that, I don't know if it's Drew, I don't know who, but it was like, we're going to play defense, and defense wins, and I'll leave it on this for my part. Lucas said in today's press conference, and I want you, we'll talk about it more, I want you to listen to it. This guy, Buck, has been screaming and cheering the last, I don't know, 8 hours, so I can understand why he's not been on social media, to also see the trashy MVC fans, but we'll get that later. That's another podcast in itself.
We could do 2 hours of that.
Yeah, we have some receipts to air. But the biggest thing Lucas said, actually, that I think you'll love is, supposedly, I think it was Nick, I don't know who said it to him, but supposedly Lucas has said before that one of his phrases is, guys, if we don't let them score in the next 4 minutes and we're in a one-point lead, we win.
Mm-hmm.
And that mentality of, if we don't let them score, was just one every player. Like, every player said, I don't want them to score. And it was like, it was so present in every three games, and that's just what I love. And it's some really interesting, because I think KenPom's going to get – I think that defense is what, like, KenPom ranks us number one defensively. Like, I don't even know if he's updated or anything like that, or Halzometric, whoever ranks the defense. And it's like, that's the defense that, like, that's what gets us into the number one adjusted defensive thing, right? So it makes me happy. It got me – that's the biggest highlight for me. Every dunk was great. And we'll get into more, but the defense is like, that's the Loyola Chicago DNA, which I just love. So yeah,
it totally is, man. I mean, like that. So I was looking at Bart Torvik, who is another ranking site, and they do I think my favorite job of like tournament coverage and like projections and all that kind of stuff. And I don't have it in front of me, so if I have it wrong, I'm sorry, but they have like a similar resume. Like you can look up like, oh, like Loyola Chicago from this year, like here are five teams that they're most similar to, either like tournament teams or just all teams. And right now, our number one comparison, and this is all teams, it's not just our conference or mid-majors, it doesn't matter. Our number one comparison we are most similar to is the 2018 Loyola Chicago team, which is really wild. Like, I understand, like, you know, there's some factors at play. Like, you know, you're playing the same teams. You're probably playing similar offense, similar defense. But you think about it, I mean, there's literally one player from that 2018 team that's playing on this team, right? It's 11 new guys or whatever, 12, 13, whatever it is. So I don't know. I just thought that was wild. And then our 2021 team is like our 10th most similar team. There's actually the Butler championship team, not that made it to the championship. It's like the runner up team was like our fourth or our third most similar team. There's a couple other teams that aren't as good in there too. So like, I'm cherry picking, but there was like a San Diego State team that was like lost in the round of 64 and something else.
Yeah. So I pulled it up. So I picked the most similar efficiency profiles to Loyola.
Yeah.
Since 2008, and yes, the number one is 2018. Mm-hmm. Illinois State 2008 team.
No way.
And then
2018 or 2017?
2008.
Got it.
They didn't make the tournament, but like just, and then it shows, yes, the Butler finals, the finals team, and then a Vermont team from 2017. But yeah. It said most similar resumes,
yeah,
which is very interesting, right? And now I kind of wish I did this yesterday because it says all of some of the resumes were teams that were in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And I'd be very – I was very – now I'm very intrigued. What if we didn't win?
You can change it. I think there's a way where you can, like, change history and, like, change the results. I will look into it. But,
we'll
like,
look into it. Yeah, no,
but it's really interesting.
Yeah, I guess the root of this and what I love hearing is, like, this team, and again, they talked about in the press conference, which I love, is like Drew started with Lucas.
Yeah.
Also, he started with Ahir. Ahir's first year was also Lucas's first year, even though
Ahir was redshirt, right?
Well, it was his redshirt, but it was his first year. That's the thing.
Right.
They all were like, "Where you don't," and they joked about it, and you haven't listened to it yet, but I'll say it is that. Ahir said 5 years ago, or is it 5 years now?
Yeah,
no,
five.
We're old. He said 5 years ago, I didn't know what or who Loyola Chicago was. And then Lucas, though, responded saying, Ahir's from Canada.
Fair.
I'm from Chicago, and I didn't even know what Loyola Chicago was.
Oh, my
and
God.
That one was like, oh, my God, that's just 5 years ago. And probably 6 years ago. And I'm like, you're telling me a kid in Chicago 6 years ago didn't know who Loyola Chicago was.
Yeah,
and it just sat there, and I think it's kind of the summary of the weekend of, like, we are building, and I'm not – if anyone throws out a D word about what we're building, I think you
– Yeah, it's too soon.
That's not even just too soon. You got to prove yourself in way other ways.
Yeah.
It's called consistency. It's called coaching trees. It's all that. But what I think we're building is, like, we're building our map. We're building our, like – when people see Loyola, they're like, oh, it's not LIL on ESPN's banner. They know it's Loyola Chicago. They know it's LUC. They know the logo. And that's the biggest thing for me is that this game, and here's the biggest thing, and CBS tweeted out, and this will actually, I wanted this to be near my last point, is that this is the first time since 63-64 that we have gone back-to-back NCAA tournaments. Now, CBS tweeted out it was 62-63. I used Wikipedia. I don't have the encyclopedia of NCAA tournaments here. So I will look into this. But according to Wikipedia, it's been 63-64. I know we were there in 63. So it's either 63 or 64. But that's just nuts, right?
Yeah.
That's the first step is that you build consistency.
Yep.
You build, like, that team, that program that consistently goes to turn. That your banner isn't just one Final Four banner. Your banner is a few NCAA tournament banners. Like, you have those year patches on it. And that's the biggest thing for me that this weekend defined because it got us there. It's like, yep, we're automatically there. And that's what I think is the projection for it is, like, that consistency. And, again, it's kind of crazy. They said that's 5 years ago. Lucas has now gone to 3 NCAA tournaments in 5 years.
Yeah, that's GOAT stuff right there, like, for real,
absolutely.
Greatest of all time. Loyola. Like, you can't include the 63 team on their they have their own statue and all that kind of stuff. But if you're talking like modern Loyola basketball, like he's got to be on the Mount Rushmore now for sure. On no questions asked. The one thing you mentioned earlier was like Ahir and Lucas not really knowing Loyola Chicago. And one of my favorite stories and like conversations of the weekend. And yeah, I might be bragging a little bit here, but I got to talk to Mr. Alcock.
This is an amazing story. I nearly, Will, I'm having a beer for you, Will. And it's 12 midnight. It's 12 a.m. here in New York. So I love this story. Say it, please.
So yeah, so it's super cool. So it's after they won and everyone's celebrating. And it's just kind of like cleaning up. Like everyone was, I think the guys had just gone back in the locker room. And I saw Mr. Alcock there and I'd like seen him around all weekend and I needed to try to like say, hey, right. And just, you know, tell him that we appreciate Will. So that's what I did. And I said, oh, excuse me, like you, Mr. Alcock. He's yeah. And I go, oh, you know, I just want to let you know, like Will's been so much fun to watch over 4 years. You know, it seems like he's such a good dude and a good person. He's like fun to watch on the court and on the bench. He's so animated, all that kind of stuff. And of course, you know, he's like, oh, thank you very much. That's really sweet. What I didn't say, and I wish I had said, So Mr. Alcock, if you're listening right now, I played in some pickup games against Will and Cam, back in the day. Like this is probably when after Will's freshman year, I think. And I never scored on Will. So he's a good defender too. So we continued just kind of chatting. And I said, you know, how did Will pick Loyola? Like, cause you hear a lot about the scholarship players and like why they're going or what their other offers were and all that kind of stuff. But I had never heard Will's story. So Mr. Alcock told me when Will was in like seventh or eighth grade, they're from, I think it's Zionsville, right? Is that correct? Indiana?
Zionsville,
Indiana.
We're not geography experts. If we pronounce
it. No, I'll look it up. I just want to make sure that's a real place because I earlier said.
It's like a suburb in Indianapolis. Yeah.
Yeah. Because earlier I said Zionsburg and that was wrong. So Zionsville, Indiana. And they would go into the city occasionally for, you know, whatever, like dinners or weekends or whatever. And Will just loved the city of Chicago. And eventually, like, I guess in eighth grade or maybe freshman year of high school, he had heard about Loyola. So he had asked his parents, like, I want to go see Loyola and see what it's all about. And apparently, like, from that point on, he fell in love with school. He told everyone, oh, it's right by the lake. That was something that was really important to him. And a lot of his, like, other, like, friends or family members would ask, like, well, why don't you look at, like, DePaul or, you know, a good basketball school? Because obviously, like, Will was pretty good at basketball. And Will was just dead set, like, on Loyola, according to Mr. Alcock. So it was just, like, a super cool story, and I'm really happy for Will, happy for his parents, that Will has had, like, all these, like, incredible opportunities. Even, you know, I mean, he wasn't here for, correct me if I'm wrong, he was not on the team for the Final Four because he's a year behind Krutwig. So I don't think he was on the team for the Final Four. I have to double check. But what my point was is even though he didn't play on the Final Four team was a part of it, he's now gone to two tournaments. He's gone to an NIT two Arch Madness victories, a couple regular season titles. Like, I mean, that dude is just – and he's just so fun to watch, like – You could set a camera just on him, I think, for the whole game. And I don't even need, I could understand what was going on, I think, the whole game just by watching Will's reactions. His broken ankles, thing from the bench today, when Lucas hit that three over Murphy was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Did you see that clip, Lou?
Yeah, it was. I had family members asking what happened, and I was, the man dedicates himself to a craft that you understand.
So that was, I just like, I got a kick out of that. I'm really like grateful, obviously, that like Mr. Alcock was such a cool dude. And all the Loyola fans were really great this weekend, but that was one of my favorite conversations that I had. So thanks for being a cool dude. And Mr. Alcock or Will, if you're listening, Mr. Alcock said he listened to a couple of the episodes, so maybe we can get you to be a regular listener. We'll talk. We'll have a segment for Will every week if that's what it takes.
Oh, a Will check-in. Yeah, I like it. But I think, but nearly just to tie all our thoughts and everything together, nearly what you said is that, like, the Loyola fans were cool. The Loyola fans, I think from the student section, I think the student section, nothing against any student, even my time, well, I wish there were more fans during our time, or the student section maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
But prior to the Final Four year, of course. But the student section this year alone in regular season game stepped up tremendously. Was Sign Girl there? We have to get her name, but do you know if you saw her down?
Yeah, there was Schwieger Fever Girl was there. I don't know if I saw Sign Girl. I wasn't looking. I had a weird angle, too, because I was like, 3 o'clock or so from that student section. So it's just kind of like I was looking on a weird angle. But I saw some of the other staples. I saw the miter, the one that Jonah passed on his miter to, I guess, a current student. So he was there.
Yes, but regardless, it's just like, I think a lot of people stepped up today, not today, but the whole weekend. Number one, the guys and the coaching staff. I think there was a change in what happened in tempo and everything. But having a home court advantage is great. But having just fans in a place that we normally traditionally don't have that many fans is even better. Mm-hmm. Because it's like you can feel the presence. You see the people. You see them cheering everyone on. And, like, even I wasn't there, and I was like, oh, Dad, this is cool. I miss this. I wish I was there, of course, right? But you knew that I wasn't going to be one fan going crazy, even though someone here loses their voice. But you had a lot of people who were there also cheering on. So I think that's just amazing to really think about it.
Yeah, it was. Sorry, I was distracted by Twitter for a second. I was looking at a fan edit of Braden Norris with his celebration, and then I saw someone comment, or the original tweet was March is Loyola Chicago's month, and someone tweeted, "Not unless you have to play a college named after a rapper." And then like 2 hours after that, someone goes, "You were saying ...
Classic.
It's just okay. So I don't know if we want to end on here, but I'm just so happy that the way we won, obviously was great. But two of the most toxic fan bases, and I'm gonna say it because I've been trying to be as like PG and like whatever as possible throughout this whole thing. Now that we're done, I think we can be a little bit more open about it. Drake and Bradley have some of the most toxic fan bases I've ever seen. And it really was this year. Like it truly changed this year. Maybe there just wasn't as many of them in the past couple years, or like COVID, like I don't know, somehow affected it. But like in person too, like there were a couple Drake fans that were not very kind or like giving you the bird or whatever. But to beat Bradley and Drake was just outstanding. I've seen them try to be smart on Twitter or sassy or whatever, and it's like, it doesn't matter. Y'all lost. Y'all took this L on our way out the door. So it's just, that for me is just outstanding.
There will be some receipts. We
got to figure out if we just do a whole episode where we call people out.
Just for fun. But again, here's the thing, right? I think for me, the biggest thing is this is Drew's first year, and this is, there's so much that could happen. This team has a ceiling that is so high, but we have to just sit back and be like, this is what Drew did in his first year. How long did it take Porter? Now, again, the team was in a different point. I get that. But just being the youngest head coach, being Lucas even emphasized being a young black head coach in college basketball, having the stage, the pressure and everything, it is tough.
Yeah.
And this team found a way. I'm reading here the stupid tiebreaker, right? Like, the tiebreaker, too, for how Loyola got the 4 seed. And I'm just looking at it, and I'm like, Missouri State, we lost to Missouri State and Drake 3 times in total. We were 1-3, and then we were 0-2 versus Drake. And it's like it sucks, but we just found a way. And Porter had this saying of, like, next guy up. I think Drew has the saying of, like, lock in and find a way. Like, find a way to, and I think the team did it, and the way we did it. Bradley, redemption, I think, from just an ugly game at their center, just with the fans and everything. And also, it kind of was nice to shut up Bradley fans. That's the number two. We'll talk more again about these games. But you and I, they had our number to finish the season. It was nice to take their ass to the curb. We just did. There's no denying a 26-point, whatever it was. And then Drake, someone asked me, who did you want to play? And I said, I actually do want to play Drake. Because it is something nice to just go out and finish it strong and just be like, yeah, we just did that. And we did that in 3 days and three straight games. So
it's revenge, man. Revenge is sweet. It really is. Like, to be able to knock off a team that beat us twice and also beat the same team 2 years in a row in order to make it to March Madness. I mean, we would have been in last year, but still, like, in order to go. One of my, I guess, kind of last thoughts, talking about Drew, right? Like, just one hell of a job, honestly. You lose an All-American. Like, mid-majors don't – I mean, look at Murray State, right? They lost Ja, and I guess I could be wrong, but I don't think they have been back to March Madness since they lost Ja. And obviously, they're really good this year. But, like, similarly, like, we lost Krutwig, and, I mean – I know, like, at the beginning of the season, we all were like, oh, yeah, we're pretty good, voted second in the Valley, like, I think we can make it. But, like, none of us knew. None of us had any idea that, like, what the team would look like without Krutwig. And they struggled at times, right? Like, on defense, too. Like, Krutwig was so clutch down low and getting defensive rebounds and not allowing offensive rebounds. So it's just really, really impressive what Drew did. Like you said, young black head coach. He had a really touching quote, like, right after they won. And it was something about how special it is that his daughter, can be on the court and just, like, be able to be there and, like, be alive, right? Like, we don't know all the details about it, but I know that his wife, had a really difficult, birth with their first child. So, like, just for him, he was really emotional and getting choked up and stuff. So, like, it obviously means so much more than just the basketball to him. And I think that's really cool. I was telling Jeff, and this is kind of my last thought, like, on the drive back. I'm so happy that they made it this year for obviously, like, a ton of reasons. But one thing I kind of didn't think about was, going to the A-10 next year. We obviously are going to be losing a lot of players. And I'm really happy they won because I think it buys Drew some time to, like, to get the guys that he wants. And any fan who next year is coming in our mentions saying, oh, we got to get back this year, go, like, turn around, delete, unfollow us. Like, that's not, obviously I would love it, but I don't, that's not fair to expect a mid-major to do that. Even 2 years. I mean, I would love to see, like, when Saint and TY are juniors to get back. But even if we can be competitive that year, that would be awesome. So I'm just happy because it buys Drew time, and obviously this is such an incredible accomplishment in his first year. So that's what I got. I don't know what else you got. If you have any kind of last points before.
Well, I think, to be honest, we're gonna need a whole few other episodes talking about a lot of
this. We will, yeah.
And to the listeners, I think we jokingly said this was gonna be a 30-minute episode, and.
Yeah, right, like, I don't know 40.
If you guys, I don't know if you all know.
Oh, my God, it's 45.
Yeah, so, I don't know if you don't know, but we like talking about Loyola basketball. There's so many things to talk about, and we will. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of exciting things to talk about in the next few episodes, even during the tournament or after tournament, whenever that is, right? There's so much things to talk about. But right now, I think, like Drew said in his press conference there, is the game wasn't great today, he said, but he's not going to worry about that for a few days. He's like, he's going to enjoy it today, he's going to enjoy it tomorrow, maybe a few days in the week, and then he's going to lock in. And I think that's what we got to do. The sum it up is enjoy what we got right now. We'll do our deep dive into the games as part two, but just overall excited that this is something that we get to celebrate and talk about today.
Yeah, it is. It's just so fun. I've been like, I'm just like, shook, honestly. I'm shocked. I'm happy.
In a good way, of course.
And it's been so fun to, like, share it with everyone, call people up, talk to you, talk to my family, talk to Loyola fans who I didn't know 72 hours ago about it. So
Yeah. I'm shocked that MVC hates us, but it's okay.
Yeah, dude.
It's
okay. Oh, gosh. It really is. We'll be fine.
The receipts are coming. The receipts are coming.
We will be fine, and the Valley will be fine. I promise. I promise both of those. So, yeah, I think that's all I got, man. It was fun. My vocal cords need to rest. I need to rest.
They need
to rest. Ugh. Back to the old grind tomorrow, for me at least.
Same here.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Likewise, man. We'll talk soon. We'll talk to the listeners later this week. But yeah, thank you all for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blairs.